I hope you can sense it too. I hope it still feels like Christmas around here, like it does for me. We have the creche right down there. All the candles are lit. We've heard all the stories by now about Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus in the manger. We've heard about visitations from shepherds and angels, and we'll get the wise men next week. They're all important parts of the Christmas tradition. And to set everything in its proper historic context, the Gospels also tell us where Jesus came from. Like any child, he is born into some sort of family legacy. We don't really read them in church for some strange reason, but Matthew traces the lineage of Jesus all the way back to Abraham. And Luke's genealogy goes even further and calls him the son of Adam. And then we get John. And for John, even that is not far enough. John opens his gospel with the very same words that begin the book of Genesis. In the beginning. So John's Christmas story begins before Joseph and Mary, before anything human. In fact, it begins before time, before creation. It begins with God, and it begins in God. William Temple was a former Archbishop of Canterbury, and he wrote once that we can take this notion of beginning in two different ways. It can mean at the very start of history, but it can also mean as the cause of history. And as we will soon see, there is no reason both cannot be true at the same time. Instead of a chaotic scene with a large cast of characters like Luke narrates, John's prologue has only three. We have God, the Word, and John the Baptist as a witness to it all. In this book, the incarnation of Jesus is what our presiding bishop called in his Christmas message a powerfully quiet mystery. C.S. Lewis called it the great miracle. There is a previous version of this sermon for today that took a long detour into Greek and Jewish philosophy at this point, to try and explain what the word might have meant to different groups of people. You should celebrate the fact that you are not getting that version of this sermon, because it would try to explain away some of the mystery and the miracle. Instead, this morning, I'd like us to embrace that, because John makes three almost unbelievable claims about Jesus just in the first verse of his book. First, in the beginning was the Word. Even before creation began, the Word was. For starters, that means the Word was not created. It just always was. And that's darn near impossible for us to wrap our heads around, because we are used to making things, buying things, growing things. We have no frame of reference for something that is just completely eternal. And at the risk of pushing a Greek verb tense too far, as preachers often do, the word was has this continuous aspect to it. So, although it's less poetic, John actually begins his gospel with something more like this. From the beginning, the word has continually existed. Second, he says, the Word was with God. And there's a lot riding on one little preposition here. Because saying the Word was with God actually says more in Greek than it does in our English. It doesn't mean they were hanging out together or sharing the same space. Taken literally, it suggests that the very existence of the Word was oriented toward God. It conveys a connection, reciprocal and mutual relationship between God and the Word. And third, he says, the Word was God, which has to be the high point of the claims. John is telling us that everything that might apply to God applies equally to the Word. What God was, the Word also was and is. It kind of reminds me of that language in our Nicene Creed about being one being with the Father. They are different, but also alike. So after that opening, the reader would naturally want to know who or what this Word is. But John doesn't mention the Word again for another 13 verses. And that is where we finally get John's Christmas message. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Now, ancient people were used to all kinds of stories of God showing up in human form. But John is doing something completely different. He's talking about the incarnation. This is Jesus, God's Word, God's very own self-expression, taking on a real human body. And with that body came everything that describes humanity: happiness, sorrow, grief, hunger, pleasure. But Jesus didn't just live among the people. Literally, he settled. He pitched his tent. Just as God was present to Israel in the tabernacle in the wilderness, Jesus was a new and perfect manifestation of God's glory in the flesh. Rather than giving up on the world, God chose to save it. Something that we should both celebrate and imitate. This was a new exodus, a deliverance now from slavery to fear and sin and death. In the mystery and the miracle of the incarnation, God opened the way to salvation. Now, yes, Christ's death and resurrection are also part of that story. But today, John reminds us that that story, that plan, was hatched in eternity, way back in the beginning. And now, for all of our brokenness, God sees us as beloved children who have always been worthy of redemption. And so he became Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.